Hi, I'm Shannon Riley. I'm a professional organizer, ADHD coach, and therapeutic yoga teacher. And this is Beyond the Checklist, a podcast for neurodivergent folks who are tired of one-size-fits-all advice. Around here, we honor how your brain really works, whether we're talking about creating calmer spaces, building focus, or learning to rest. This is a place for practical tools, honest stories, and permission to do things differently. Let's make space for what matters in your home, in your time, and in yourself. Hello, and welcome back to Beyond the Checklist. I am so excited that you're here, and thank you for coming back. Today, we're going to talk about what clutter, burnout, and executive dysfunction have in common. So these are things that I see in all of the work that I do. They can each show up differently. Clutter can show up on its own, burnout can show up on its own, and executive dysfunction can show up on its own, but they are truly deeply connected, and they're often tangled together in ways that we might not even think about or realize. So if you've been beating yourself up because your space feels chaotic and cluttered and overwhelming, you can't focus, you're depleted, and you don't even know where to start, this episode is for you. As always, I'm going to try to make this as short and sweet as possible. Feel free to take what you need, leave what you don't, and just listen. So let's start with this question. What if our clutter isn't about stuff? What if burnout isn't just about being busy? And what if executive dysfunction isn't a failure of willpower? What if all three are messages from your nervous system saying, hey, I need a break. I'm over capacity. I'm at capacity. Here's what I've learned through my own experience and my experience working with clients. For a lot of us, especially when we're neurodivergent, we're living with chronic stress or pain. Clutter isn't the cause of our stress. So clutter doesn't create the feeling of stress. It's what happens as a result of the stress that we're already feeling. It's what happens when decision fatigue, which is essentially just feeling like you're making a lot of decisions close together, which is often what you have to do when you're managing and dealing with your clutter. You have to make decisions about each item and then what you're going to do with it, where it's going to go. So the decision fatigue is just that overwhelming feeling when we're trying to make all these decisions and we're tired. It's when overwhelm piles on, when we're too exhausted to process one more thing. So we set it down or put it aside, quote unquote, for now. And that just happens again and again. And everything becomes for now, and everything builds up and becomes overwhelming. Burnout, on the other hand, is what happens when we keep pushing past our limits and we're not giving our bodies and our minds enough rest, support, or validation. So it's when we have that feeling of overwhelm, we have that feeling of decision fatigue, and we try to set it aside for now, but we feel like we can't, and we push ourselves over the edge and do it anyway, even though our body and our brain is telling us that we need a pause. It's really our body forcing us into that rest. And it's not that feeling of, oh, we're going to do self-care today. We're going to do what we need to do to rest. But it's our body telling us to stop proving what we're capable of. And it really just needs to start repairing itself and resting and filling your cup. And then there's executive dysfunction. So that's when your brain can't seem to do the thing, even though you know you want to. So maybe you're sitting at your desk and there's a pile of laundry that you did a few days ago. And you know you need to fold it and put it away. And we want to do it because we look at it and we see it. But we just can't seem to do it. It just isn't happening. It's not working. You know what needs to happen. And I see this with a lot of the people that I work with. Most of the people that I work with, actually pretty much everyone I work with, is a high functioning person who is neurodivergent. And I don't mean that there's low functioning, which sure there is, but they're people who are very highly aware of what needs to happen, what they should prioritize, always using air quotes on that should statement. And the steps feel a little slippery, a little overwhelming, or even there aren't any steps and you just have to have it done and have to be at the end of the goal. It's hard to break it down. And every time you try to get those things done, it costs more energy than you have. So an example that I love, and I don't know if any of you have heard this before, but you might see it around the internet, and it's the spoon theory. So the spoon theory is essentially, so imagine that the spoons represent a cost, a payment, right? So it's an exchange. So everybody in the world wakes up with 10 spoons for their day. And that is representing the cost of doing things. So like the energy it takes, right? So most people or many people who don't have these feelings of burnout, executive dysfunction, they just end up with a stack of spoons, right? Because they're not using all 10 spoons every day. So they get 10 spoons on Monday, they use two. They get 10 spoons on Tuesday, they use one. So they're just building up their source of energy, if you will. A great example I love is we've got 10 spoons. If you're experiencing that burnout, executive dysfunction, whatever's happening, that overwhelming feeling, that stressful feeling, it costs you 3 spoons just to get out of bed. So already before your feet hit the floor, you only have 7 spoons left for the day. It costs 1 more spoon to brush your teeth and get dressed. So now you have 6 spoons for the day. And you haven't even sat down yet. So now you're at your desk. You're ready to get started working. Getting to your desk costs 3 more spoons. So what are we at? We've got 3 spoons left and it's maybe 9 a.m. It takes more energy and more effort and more of a oomph to do the thing, to do the little things that we know that we need to do. Or even sometimes it's the things that we want to do. So here's how they all link together: clutter, burnout, and executive dysfunction. It often comes from the same root, which is a mismatch between your capacity, your spoons, and your environment. If the expectations around you, whether it's your workload, your home life, your mental load, if those are exceeding your external resources, something has to give. For some people, it's the to-do list. We can't do the things on the to-do list. That's the thing that doesn't happen. For some people, it's your dishes, your laundry, your email. And for other people, it's a total shutdown. So that's just a can't do anything. Can't, everything around you is just building up. And the hardest part of that is that when that happens, we internalize that as failure. We call ourselves lazy. We feel ashamed. We isolate. The clutter on the counter, brain fog, lack of motivation. We think that's a failure, but they're not. they're trying to protect ourselves. They're messages from ourselves to ourselves. And it's data, it's information, it's awareness. A lot of people that I work with, especially when it comes to physical organizing, so organizing the space around us, they feel embarrassed by it. They're not sure how it got to the point that it got to. And as it kept filling up, it became harder and harder to understand and know where to start. And it's often because you have other things going on in your life. Once you start talking with clients and get to know them a little bit better, and they're sharing their frustrations and anxieties about the space and the clutter, and then they might share something personal. Maybe there's been a death recently. Maybe they've moved. Maybe they've experienced a divorce or sickness or illness or stressful work environment, anything like that. That is what's happening. That's why it's becoming unmanageable. It's the result. It's not the thing that makes everything else feel like it's falling apart. The other things, and I'm using the term falling apart, and it can just because it can encompass anything, but it doesn't matter the level of that additional stress. That stress on the outside, things that are potentially external, often can be external, are impacting the ability to deal with clutter. And the clutter is the result. It builds up because of the other thing. And with that, you really don't need a checklist. You don't need a list of, oh, I gotta fold the laundry. I have this piece of furniture I don't want anymore. I want to sell it on Facebook. I have a bag of donations. I have to drive to the donation center and drop it off or arrange for someone to come pick it up. That's all good and well. However, the space is showing the person who's experiencing it and me as the person who's there to support that it's really hard right now because of life to hold everything together. It's not a failure. It's often not even the quote-unquote problem. It's often not the issue that's happening. There needs to be a reframe of what is happening. Acknowledge the other things that are going on that can have this kind of impact on other parts of your life. So if you're listening right now and you're looking around, if you're in your home or your car, and you feel surrounded by clutter, and I will also say clutter is an individual feeling. And I mean for some people, clutter might just be a really small pile of things building up. For other people, before it starts to feel that overwhelming, it might be a lot. It's really individual about what that level of clutter looks like. Or you feel like you can't do basic tasks. Take a deep breath. Nice deep inhale. And sigh it out. Remember that you're not alone. You're not broken. And there is nothing shameful about needing a different kind of support. So a couple of things that I would like to offer you in this conversation is clutter isn't a moral issue. It is a symptom of decisions deferred, not decisions failed. Burnout is a nervous system response, not a productivity issue. Executive dysfunction isn't a lack of effort. It's a mismatch between intention and capacity. And most importantly, you are worthy of rest, of joy and support, even when, and especially when, everything feels like a mess. So what might help? Not a one-size-fits-all answer, but here's what you can take. And again, you take everything with a grain of salt. Take what resonates, leave what doesn't. Start small. And I mean, like, it can be super duper small. One item, one breath, one corner. Create your systems around your real energy, not your ideal, not what you hope you looks like. Notice how your energy shifts throughout the day and also shifts throughout the week and shifts throughout the month. So start to recognize some of those patterns. Create cues that support your memory. So that's things like visual reminders, checklists, timers. Sometimes, like, a timer can either feel really helpful or not helpful. Depends on you. It might depend on the day as well. But you've got that visual, oh, I have 5 minutes. I want to, like, push. I want to do this right now. I'm just going to force myself to get up and do it. And always give yourself permission to pause. And always remember that it's okay to ask for support. It's okay to ask for help. So it could be a friend. It could be a coach, a professional organizer, a therapist. Whatever support looks like for you. You do not have to push through on your own. So before we close out today, I just want to leave you with a really simple practice. If you feel safe doing so, take a moment to close your eyes or soften your gaze. Bring to mind one area of your life that feels heavy or cluttered. It can be physical, mental, or emotional. And now ask yourself, kindly, what is this space trying to tell me? What is it showing me about how I've been surviving? And what would support look like right now? Not to fix it, but just to begin. You don't need the full answer right now. Just a spark of awareness. Maybe invite a deep breath in. And let it go. Next time, I'll share a little bit more about how I organize my own life and why it is always changing. We'll talk about building systems that are flexible, that shift, and that actually work with your capacity. So until then, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for listening and being curious about new ways of doing things. And if today's episode resonated with you, I would love for you to share it with someone else who might need to hear that you're not failing. You're responding to something real. Take care, and I'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Beyond the Checklist. If something from today's episode resonated with you, I would love for you to share it, subscribe, or leave a review. It helps more people find the support they deserve. Take what you need, leave what you don't, and remember, you're doing the best you can, and that's enough. Until next time, keep making space for what matters in your home, your time, and yourself.